39, Genesis chapter 39, that's where our scripture reading will be taken from today, the first six verses. We're in Genesis 39, beginning at verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. It came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge, and with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word and to the study of it to follow in just a few moments. 39th chapter of the book of Genesis, as we continue on in this great study of this great book of Scripture. And John said, we're going to be taking a little break, and we'll make it as quick a break as we possibly humanly, physically can. But we're going to take a little break from this, and we have some great speakers. And don't go AWOL and run around. You be here. And keep in the. We have great Sunday school teachers that do a great job preparing. We have a full services scheduled for you. So just don't go playing around somewhere. You get here and worship God. And I promise you, I'll get back here as quick as I can. We're going to be in Genesis 39 today. And before we do, let's bow and look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for what it is able to do. We pray that this text of Scripture would minister to us in a real personal and practical way. And for that, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. This medical world has come up with some amazing technology, one of which is called a CAT scan, which literally probably was responsible for saving the life of Hank Griffin this week. That CAT scan is able to go in and look at you inside medically and physically to see if there's anything wrong, if there are any blockages in various areas. When you come to a text of Scripture like this, what you realize is God is in the business of performing spiritual CAT scans on people. What God is interested in doing is looking into the real spiritual heart of an individual. And He'll assess it in view of what's really going on. When He did a CAT scan of Judah's life, it turned out to be a mess and a disaster. But when He does a CAT scan of Joseph's life, he saw righteousness flowing through and through his spiritual veins. Now, one of the things that every person faces is temptation when it comes to the Christian life. And believe it or not, but temptation, according to James, is a necessary part of the Christian life. In fact, James had such a handle on this aspect of our lives. He said, when you fall into various kinds of trials and tests, count it all joy. Trials and tests and temptations are things that God can use to prove the faithfulness of His people. And when a child of God is tested or tempted and then does what God wants them to do and refuses to buckle to the pressure or the temptation, then God looks at that child. He will purpose to bless that child and honor that child because that's a child He can trust. It has been well said, God will always test us before He will promote us. But when a temptation comes and people look at it and it starts to consume them and they give in, then the end result is completely negative. That's what happened to Judah. In Genesis 38, Judah was tested and he failed the test. But it doesn't happen to Joseph because in Genesis 39, Joseph is tested and he passes the test. See, staying faithful to God is lived out in a real world. Being faithful is a critical key to getting the blessings of the Lord, but being faithful is worked out and lived out in the real trials of life. It's in those circumstances and situations where we determine whether we really are successful. And sometimes if you purpose to stay faithful, you may discover you find yourself in immediate hardship, And you may find that you're not having instant prosperity, but in the end, you will discover you will win. In fact, there could be, if you remain faithful to the Lord, instant persecution. But those who keep their focus on God and remain faithful to the Lord will ultimately survive the trial and survive the test and be highly honored of God. And if you ever want to see an example of that, it's the story of Joseph. When you come to these verses of Scripture, there's a theme that just comes out to you, and that is if we refuse to yield to sinful temptations, it may initially appear as though some negative things are going to hit us, but in the end, eventually, the believer will be honored by God and blessed by God. I mean, that's what you see when you look into this 39th chapter. You find Joseph, who's a very faithful man. Initially, it looks like some negative, difficult, hostile things are happening to him. But eventually, he ends up being highly exalted. And the reason for that is God is sovereign over everything, including everything happening to Joseph himself. Now, if we purpose to stay faithful to the Lord, we may discover that there may be times we experience some real negative things. But if we remain faithful through those negative things, the end result will be great honorable blessings and usability from the hand of God. And that's certainly what you see when you look at this life of Joseph. Now, we may recall that the last time we looked at Joseph, he was being sold by his brothers as a slave back in chapter 37. He had been faithful to God, faithful to do what his dad wanted him to do, go check up on your brothers. He'd been faithful to tell his brothers the word of God, which was revelatory information he got from God, and they ended up selling him as a slave. And what God wants us to realize is even though those negative things were happening, he was still in sovereign control. And the last verse of chapter 37, which says, meanwhile, the Midianites sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, Pharaoh's officer and captain of the bodyguard. The last verse of chapter 37 and the first verse of chapter 39 are very, very similar in that they stress information about this guy who purchased Joseph, whose name is Potiphar. Now, God was sovereignly involved in this particular episode. He was sovereignly involved in overseeing the fact that it was Potiphar who would actually be the one who would buy Joseph. God was in all of this. Now, there are three facts brought out about Potiphar that I want to show you from the text. First of all, he was an officer of Pharaoh. That's what verse 1 says. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian officer. That's an odd Hebrew word, officer. It's actually a word that refers to one who has been castrated. It's very possible that this literally is talking about the fact that he got into this high-ranking position in Pharaoh's court by allowing himself to be castrated. In other words, he was perhaps some type of eunuch, and that would, of course, lend itself to why his wife was constantly chasing after Joseph, which we'll see when we get back together again. The point I want you to see, though, is that God is the one who's allowing Potiphar to purchase Joseph because Potiphar is in this very important position of leadership. Joseph could have been sent anywhere when he was brought into Egypt, into that Nile River Valley. He could have been actually sent to the fields, the minefields. He could have been sent out to the building projects where he could help carry bricks and huge stones up a pyramid. I mean, all of those would have been possible assignments. But God wanted him right here because he had a big plan for him. And what seems to be perhaps the worst situation of Joseph's life, he's sold as a slave and ends up in this foreigner's home, turns out to be a great sovereign work of God in directing him to this very place. Because God was in this story. God was in his life. The second fact that's brought out about Potiphar is he was the captain of the guard. Verse 1 said he was the captain of the bodyguard. Now that phrase, captain of the bodyguard, literally he was the chief of the guys who were responsible for guarding the Pharaoh, or he also would carry out execution assignments. The Hebrew word would lend itself to that. He's the chief of the executioners. These words immediately inform us that Potiphar was a guy who had the power of life and death in his hands. If someone did something against Pharaoh, Potiphar had the right to kill him. In other words, he actually determined who lived and who died. Now, having understood this, we can begin to see the picture developing. From Joseph's perspective, he's being sold as a slave. From God's perspective, He's being sold to Potiphar so he can exalt Joseph from Potiphar's wife's perspective. She's married to a man who probably is a eunuch, and that creates problems for her. From Potiphar's perspective, he has full authority and legal right to execute people. From Satan's perspective, he wants Joseph to commit immorality so he can trip him up and get him off track with Potiphar's wife. Literally, he would want to kill him. Thus, you have this whole world taking place in this very one episode of Joseph's life. Joseph was not aware of all of the mysteries that were at work in him just being assigned to Potiphar's house, but God was sovereignly in his life story. Which brings us to the third fact. Potiphar was an Egyptian. That's brought out in verse 1. He was an Egyptian officer. The man who bought Joseph from the Midianite Ishmaelites was a castrated Egyptian executioner and bodyguard who was held in high esteem by Pharaoh. When you're going through some unexplainable, difficult times, you may legitimately say, I don't know what's happening to me, I don't know why it's happening to me, and I don't know what in the world is going on. When you find yourself in those situations, a good thing to remember is your God is still sovereign. A good thing to remember is your God is still looking out for you. And even though Joseph at this point in time didn't sense that or see that, that was the reality of it. Down the road, he'll come to understand this point, and I'm convinced we will too. The point is, you stay faithful to God no matter what you're dealt. You stay faithful to the Lord regardless of the trial or hardship, because down the road, you'll discover God will honor you. Now, as you look down through these verses, there are six ways that actually God started blessing Joseph, even though he's been sold as a slave, is in a foreign culture, and really has given a pretty menial assignment, be a slave. That basically is his job. But there are six ways God blessed him. First of all, God was with Joseph. Verse 2 says, the Lord was with Joseph. This is a key point of this chapter. This fact is specifically stated four times. It's said once in verse 2, again in verse 3, again in verse 21, and again in verse 23. That little statement, the Lord was with Joseph, is one that gives us the cause for all of the blessings that are about to follow. All of the things that will happen to Joseph. God's presence meant God's protection, his direction, his provision, and his prosperity. The fact that God was with Joseph explains why it is that Joseph survived and wasn't killed by his brothers. It explains why he ends up in this home. It's because God was with him. There's a word that oftentimes is used that really doesn't belong in a Christian vocabulary. It's the word luck. Luck is a word that has nothing to do with anything connected to Joseph. Luck is a word that should not even be in a believer's vocabulary. When we face some type of crisis, when we face some type of danger, when we face some type of situation, when we face some type of threatening surgery, luck has nothing to do with anything. God's there. God's at work. God's in the picture. God is sovereign. And we need to trust that reality. The fact that he was sold to Potiphar and the fact that he prospers and excels has nothing to do with that he was just lucky. It has to do with the fact that the Lord was with Joseph. And I point out one other thing that you don't want to overlook. Notice the noun that's used for Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is used in verse 2, 3, 5, 21, and 23. It's used multiple times. What's interesting about that is the noun for Yahweh or Jehovah. That is the self-existing I am covenant-keeping God with Israel. The reason why I point this out is in the remainder of the next eight chapters, in which we're going to see Joseph's life develop, this noun, capital L-O-R-D, is not used again. Here's the point of this. Here is Joseph, who's at probably his lowest moment in life, and by choosing this noun, Moses is teaching Israel and teaching us that the covenant-keeping God was with Joseph personally. In Joseph's darkest hour, when he could not see God, when he could not sense God, the covenant-keeping God was with him and very close to him. Now, if you know Jesus Christ here today, you've entered into a great covenant with God. The writer of Hebrews tells us it's a new covenant. God has entered into a covenantal arrangement with you. And when you find yourself in some difficult circumstance, no matter how lonely you may feel, you can be absolutely certain that God is with you. It would be quite a while before Joseph would actually begin to see this and sense this. It would be quite a while before he would know this, but God was in fact here. God was with Joseph. So when you are in your uncertain times of life, and you can't see God, or you can't sense God, you can know this. That God who entered into a covenant with you is right by your side every step of the way. He's with you, and He will not fail you. Which brings us to the second way God blessed him. God prospered Joseph in his success. Verse 2 says, "And he became a successful man." Now that word successful, which shows up here in verse 3, speaks of prosperity or succeeding, which is all over the normal limit. It's a success to a level of overflowing. That's the Hebrew word. When he talks about the fact that he was successful, he was overflowing in everything he was doing. In other words, everything Joseph touched was turning to gold. And the reason why everything he was touching was turning to gold is because God was with him and permitting him to succeed. This overflowing level of prosperity that was being reached by Joseph was directly due to the blessings of God on his life. It was not typical job success which came to most slaves who were working in Egypt. Most slaves taken to Egypt weren't succeeding at the level of Joseph. It was the hand of God that was causing this to happen on him. Now, God's people, I think, need to learn a very important lesson. There's no doubt that there is a natural reward that is promised to anybody who works hard at what they do. There's a biblical principle that is true, I don't care what the context. If you work hard and you're diligent at what you do in your work, if you work hard on your job, if you work hard in a classroom, if you work hard at whatever it is that you are given to do, there is a natural type of remuneration that comes to one who's diligent in his or her work. That theme is taught over and over again in the book of Proverbs. However, when you get to a point where there's this overflowing level of prosperity and success, and there's this abundant blessing that's being experienced in your life, that is not the norm. And when God is doing something like that, then somebody has just been blessed by God and they're at an overflowing level in the fact that God has put His hand on that individual. See, one may do a job like all the rest and be rewarded like all the rest, or one may do the job faithfully to God and be prospered by God in ways that are totally beyond the norm. You see, it's our faithfulness to the Lord that determines this. I cannot stress that point enough. If you want the quickest way to the top in your world, be faithful to God. That's what God honors. That's what God blesses. In the real work world, in the real academic world, in the real world of life, it's faithfulness to the Lord that He honors. The third way that God prospered Joseph was in his location. Verse 2 says, "And he was in the house of his master the Egyptian." Now here's Joseph, this slave, whose accommodations are pretty good. I mean, he doesn't have to live out in the field somewhere. He's living in the house of his master. In fact, he'll eventually be placed in charge over his master's household. What this tells us is Joseph was a domestic slave rather than one that took care of the vineyards or the fields. He didn't have to live in a slave's quarters. He didn't have to live in the quarters of a ranch hand. He was enjoying all the advantages of living like other wealthy Egyptians, even though he's a Jewish slave. Now, you have to say, how did he climb to the top of that world? I mean, he just ends up a slave brought into Egypt. How does he end up with his high rank? It's the hand of God. And those who have a relationship with God can know that one day they will be allowed the privilege of living in the greatest house of all, the house of the Master. Those who know the Lord Jesus Christ have a wonderful promise to them. "I'll come back, that where I am, there you may be also. I've gone to prepare a place for you." You who know the Lord, you have wonderful future in store for you. You're going to be taken to the Master's home, where you're going to be able to live forever and ever. See, that's a wonderful promise. And that promise should motivate us to faithfulness to the Lord. That privilege that Joseph had of living in Potiphar's house was something that motivated him to be faithful to the Lord. He would not succumb to evil or to temptation or trial because of all of the things that he was seeing God doing. The fourth way that God prospered Joseph is in Potiphar's estimation. Verse 3 says, "Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand." When Joseph was at home with his brothers, they saw him as a troublemaker. When he gets to Egypt, it doesn't take long, and they begin to see him as a source of blessing. There's no question that Potiphar knew of Joseph's God, because obviously Joseph spoke of him and he lived for him to the extent that he saw it lived out in Joseph's life. He was somebody who walked, he was a hard worker, but he also was an honest man of integrity. It's a strange thing, but this is an important truth that we need to get a handle on, and sometimes it gets lost by believers in the working world. If you were to ask most people, what do you do to get your employer to notice you? What do you do that will cause them to think that you're real special? You would probably receive answers like, work all the overtime you can, do your work well, and certainly there's nothing wrong with that. I'm sure that that's what Joseph did. I'm sure that he was not a guy who just watched the clock for this moment when it reached this particular minute. And I'm also sure that he did his work well. But I doubt too many would say, if you really want to get noticed by those that are high up in authority, you stay faithful to God. But in all reality, that is exactly Joseph's way to the top. The key to him being recognized as being successful was the fact that he was faithful to God. It was his faithfulness that enabled Potiphar to look at him and say, man, everything this guy does is good. And it is the faithful man and the faithful woman who ultimately will be given the great promotions of God. And faithfulness is lived out in personal, private lives. It's not the public stuff. It's the personal, private stuff. And it will be God who will begin to open eyes of people, and they'll begin to sense there's something about that individual. There's a presence there. There's a power there. There's a force there. There's a faithfulness there. There's a blessing there. That's exactly what Potiphar was sensing about Joseph. There's something about him. Look, you can't buy, you can't manipulate, you can't talk your way into that type of recognition. You can't write a resume that will enable somebody to look at that resume and go, wow, there is somebody that I just need to hand over the company to. This was of God. And people who are faithful to the Lord will discover God recognizes that faithfulness. And in His time and in His way, He will bring that to the top. I've never forgotten a story I knew of a Christian who got fired one night from a company, and he was a faithful, faithful worker and servant of God. The boss said that night he couldn't sleep. He said, I got home and I wrestled with this. I could not sleep with the fact that I had let this Christian go. He said, by the next morning, first thing, he's on the phone hiring him back. He said, I don't know how this is going to work, but I want you back in the company the next day. That man had gone home that night thinking he was out without a job. But the next morning he had his job back. All because this was a faithful Christian man who did his work to the glory of God. And that employer recognized that. That's what you have happening here to Joseph. Which brings us to the fifth way God blessed him. He prospered Joseph in Potiphar's promotion. Verse 4 says, so Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant. He made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in charge. Potiphar was so impressed with God's blessings on Joseph, he was so impressed with the fact that there was a dynamic about him he hadn't seen in anybody else, that he puts him in total charge over everything related to his house. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I just believe that this may not be the quickest way or the easiest way to get ahead, but this is the right way to get ahead. Faithfulness to the Lord. When we purpose to be faithful to God, we will see that God's hand will work in a variety of situations and circumstances, and He will cause things to be worked out, and ultimately His people, faithful, end up on top. Those who purpose to stay faithful to the Lord no matter what they're facing are those who are putting themselves on a path of promotion. If you want to put yourself on a course where you can really be raised up, then put yourself on a course to be faithful to the Lord. Which brings us to the sixth way God prospered Potiphar for Joseph's promotion. verses 5 and 6, it came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. Clear back in Genesis 12, God made a promise to Abraham, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. When Jacob went to Laban's house, God blessed Jacob, even though Laban was trying to shaft him. When Joseph goes to Potiphar's house, God blesses Joseph, only Potiphar has enough sense to recognize it. Wise are those businesses who promote and care for faithful people. Wise are those businesses who promote and care for faithful believers. They stand to inherit great blessings of God in both a financial and spiritual sense if they purpose to treat his people favorably. This was a key to Potiphar's success. It was a key to Pharaoh's success. He had Joseph on staff, and he says, you know what? I'm turning everything over to him. He runs things right, and God will bless him. Now, the road is not easy for Joseph. Think about this. You're Joseph. You've been hit with one setback after another. This is not a pleasant story. You can't be with your family anymore, nor your home friends anymore. You've been sold as a slave. I mean, this is not positive for Joseph, but through it all, he never wavers in his faithfulness to the Lord. And even though he gets sent to Egypt, God's hand was on him right there. Now, there are six lessons to learn from this great text of Scripture. First of all, God is sovereignly directing even the worst possible circumstances of those who are faithful to him. I don't know what perhaps you're going through right now. Maybe you've been hit with a string of negatives. I can tell you this. God is still sovereign in your personal world. You stay faithful to him. Secondly, God is with his faithful servant everywhere he goes and everything that he does. He's watching over you. He's watching over the minuscule points of your life that you think nobody's with you in. He's there. He's watching you. He's monitoring you in every little assignment that you do. Thirdly, God will prosper those who remain faithful to him through difficult circumstances. You know, in that great text of Isaiah 53, which predicts that one would come who would be wounded for our transgressions, in verse 10 of Isaiah 53, the Lord says, I will see my offspring prosper. And he found great joy in knowing that one day his offspring would prosper. You stay faithful to the Lord, that's what will happen. Fourthly, God will cause certain lost people to recognize that his blessings are on your life. I know for a fact and have personally experienced this and talked to enough Christians to know that they've experienced this too. God uses lost people to help his own. He does that in a work world. He does that in a business world. He does that in all kinds of worlds, whatever the world. He has ways of using even people that don't know the Lord to help his own. That's what's happening to Joseph. He's using some heathen idolater to actually help Joseph and establish him as being a great man. Fifthly, God in this time will promote and prosper his faithful servant. That's what you see happening to Joseph. And in the end, you'll see how high Joseph goes. These are the early stages of a promotion that's going to be big time. And finally, temptations, trials are designed to occur in our lives to prove our faithfulness. So just remember when you're tempted, or just remember when you go through some trial or trouble, if you purpose to be faithful to the Lord, you put yourself on a path of blessing. Where do we get that idea? From the life of Joseph. May we pray. Now, perhaps you're here and you're in a situation where you're being faithful to the Lord, but things aren't going real well for you. Things are negative. I just want to encourage you, you stay the course and stay faithful to God, because in the end, you'll be victorious. But perhaps you're here and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen. Not only will your world cave in, but your eternity is going to cave in. The reason why God preserved this Abrahamic line was to bring His Son into this world who could set you free from your sin. And He'll do it if you'll invite Him into your life to be your Savior. You believe on the Lord and you'll have everlasting life. Father, thank You so much for the precious Word of God and for those here to partake of it. We thank You so much for these encouraging truths that we see from the life of Joseph. We pray that You would give us the same type of mindset that he had, that no matter what we're facing, we will stay the course and be faithful to You. For anything that You've accomplished here, we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.